Evans and Marcus Frank.
Must see TV.
That's more than two words.
You didn't say two words. You said quick to the point.
You just said I got two words.
And we're back. How are you doing, Gavin? This is Courtside. I'm your host, Marcus Frank, here with my co-host,
Gavin Evans.
And special guest,
Alexander. It's great to be with you guys for the first time. I'm coming in from Michigan, and I'm super excited.
Yep, and this is Courtside on 91.5 WMFO in Medford.
Good shout.
Gotta get
it's
that
good
one
to be
in
back.
There.
Did you have a good snow day, Gavin?
I had a pretty good two snow days, actually.
Yeah, we had two, Monday, Tuesday. It was crazy. We got a lot of. Did you get a lot of snow up in Michigan?
We did
Alex?
Not, actually. It was crazy. I mean, it doesn't snow as much, but we didn't. They don't cancel school.
Yeah. So, got a lot to catch up on. As we've been saying, the playoff standing race is really heating up. All the MVP postseason awards races. A lot of the trade deadline players we're seeing really whose trades were actually good. Were our predictions correct? Guys like Darius Garland debuting tomorrow. Jason Tatum may be coming back. So a lot to talk about. So let's start off with our hometown team, Celtics.
Yeah, so unfortunately, they did beat my Sixers last night pretty convincingly. But, I mean, we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
The Celtics are incredibly surprising to us this season. We were predicting them as, play-in team probably without Jason Tatum, and they have surpassed all expectations. I think we talked about this before as well. I think Jaylen Brown is a pretty serious runner for the MVP award this year.
Yeah. If other guys
end up missing the games requirement,
yeah.
You're left with like Cade Cunningham, who's a very serious contender. But if, you know, Wemby, Luka, Jokic, Shea miss that, 65 game rule, there aren't too many other players better than Jaylen Brown in the NBA right now.
I think really it's Shea. Because Jokic, I think he can miss like one or two more games. Shea, he's sitting at 51 games right now. So as long as he plays like 14 more, we're good. But yeah, I think Celtics are really good. Nemez Keita, he's been really good for the Celtics.
Yeah,
he's their starting center, I think.
I don't think Vooch
has been coming off the bench.
So
Nikola Vucevic, that was their major trade deadline acquisition.
From the Bulls. Yeah, so last night, Nemez Keita, 27 points, 17 rebounds, 4 stocks, 71% from the field. So super efficient, double-double, plus 20 in his plus-minus. So just a winning player for the team last night. And, like, he passed the eye test. Watching that game, he looked good. And granted, he was going against, like, Andre Drummond and, like, you know, those types
in the
of
big,
players.
In the big 2-6,
he was
Andre
going against
Drummond.
Andre Drummond. But, like, you know, this is a guy whose name I didn't know before this season. I don't think most people knew who this guy was before the season.
I kind of knew of him, but I didn't think he was going to be this good. I was we were worried about their front court, but yeah, he's been really good for them this year.
Yeah,
and their rookies this year have also been really good, right? Mm-hmm.
Peyton Pritchard, awful game last night, though, actually. 0 points, 3 rebounds, and 5 assists in 27 minutes. That's pretty bad, but he can get a pass. I mean, he's been really good this whole year.
I think, honestly, like, just know the 40-20 rule. Like, honestly, the Celtics have hit the 40 mark without Jason Tatum. We know it works.
Alex, do you want to explain to us what the 40-20 rule is?
I got you. So, I think it was Coach Pop.
No, it was Phil Jackson.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Sorry, Phil Jackson. He said any team that doesn't hit 40 wins before 20 losses is not a true contender. And the Celtics, without their true superstar, hit this mark. So they're clearly contenders, and we know we've seen in 2024. The combination works. So I just think
the Celtics are really scary. This The Celtics are one scary team, and I really think they might be championship contenders. And that's great for Boston, you know?
Yeah. I'm a bit biased being a Knicks fan, and most likely scenario, Celtics and Knicks finish either second or third and probably face off in the second round. But yeah, they've also, their rookie this year, Hugo Gonzalez, he's been pretty good for them. Just averaging like 4 points, 50% from the field. He's a shooting guard out of Spain. I think it just really shows they have a really good front office who knows how to make moves around the margin. You get your two good star players that you build around, and you just give them a contending roster. But I still truly think that they should have tanked this year because it's such a strong draft class. And so we teased this, but Jason Tatum, really big likelihood that he's coming back. He's on 5-on-5 practice. I don't know if you've seen the clips on Twitter, Alex, but like he was dunking.
He's looking good.
He's driving. I mean, he looks pretty good. I don't know how I feel about him coming back. Like he did just tear his Achilles like less than a year ago, and most guys take a year plus to recover. So this would be like all time record for least time.
What did KD take?
KD took like 400 days. Oh, I think Kobe took around 200. How many days did Kobe take?
Pretty quick, I think.
Okay. I mean, yeah, it's definitely new medical like procedures.
Yeah, Kobe took 240 days.
Wow. Okay.
So but also when he came back, his career, he was kind of like,
yeah, not the same.
Much worse. Yeah. So I don't know if you risk it. I feel like my philosophy about this, I feel like you should take as much time as you can, especially because they're in no rush. Like they're still pretty young. Like besides Derek White, their core is like under 30. Jason Tatum and Jalen Brown, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think most of their top like
Jalen Brown's 29, turning 30 this year, so he's still well into his prime. Derek White is older, but yeah, and will they even look as good when he's back? Because it's Jalen Brown's team.
That's what I was thinking. When you bring Jason Tatum back to this team, Jason Tatum is a guy that requires a lot of shots. Like, he wants the ball in his hand a lot, I think. And is it going to, like, kind of mess up this team's chemistry to have this guy come back and just immediately start kind of going after the ball and taking shots, right? Like, and he's, I mean, he hasn't played in a long time.
240 days or something.
Yeah, like, forever. So he's going to come back. He's probably not going to be shooting that great immediately coming back just because he hasn't played in forever. He's probably, I mean, we tend to see with people that have these injuries, they kind of lose their bounce a little bit. Like they lose a little bit of athleticism. So he's probably not going to be as athletic as he was before, at least at the beginning. Is that like the kind of stuff you want to introduce to this team right at the like kind of tail end of the season when you want to make a push for the playoffs?
Yeah, I don't know. And also Jalen Brown, he's shooting much better than he was last year with the ball in his hands more, and he's playing better than Jason Tatum was last year. So I don't know, who is their number one option? Like, is it Tatum or is it Brown? Who's the star of the franchise?
I still think it's Tatum just because of what he's shown us in the past few years. But I will say, I don't think he's going to be the same. I just think that he's still such a team player, and we saw that during the championship run, you know? Like, he did let Jaylen Brown take over. As we know, Jaylen Brown, controversial, but he was the finals MVP. And so I think, even though he might be a little bit of a weaker player, I think this the combination of the Jays is, like, really well-tested, you know? So I could see them coming back and really making a push. I'm not sure, and you could be totally right, but I would like to see it, you know.
Well, maybe is it better to introduce Jason Tatum to this team now and get those kinks worked out of the system before the playoffs?
Yeah, definitely.
So,
but, for sure,
but you
for
don't.
Sure.
I feel like, yeah. I mean, if you they're not going to win the championship with their roster they have now. Like they're good, but they're not a like championship level roster. You 100%. Need Jason Tatum to be in, like,
2024 Jaylen Brown role, where he's the number two. In those finals, he kind of did play like a bum, though. But Jaylen Brown was the better player, but Jason Tatum overall is probably better. We'll see how he looks when he comes back, right? But it's definitely exciting for you Celtics fans out there. Yeah, and Derek White, really good. If Jason Tatum can give like 75% of what he gave you in 2024, they could be a real title contender, I think. So, next up, Clippers.
Clippers.
Clippers talk. So, Clippers, big win last night against the New Orleans Pelicans. That playoff roster. They were on like a four-game win streak before. And they are looking good. DeJounte Murray's back, right? He tore his Achilles. No Zion. Zion Eat the Table Williamson was not playing yesterday, sadly. Jeremiah Fears, their rookie, he was looking good also last night.
He's been, I think, a sleeper good rookie this year. Also, just absolutely amazing jersey, Zero Fears, because his number is zero.
So tough.
It's an good. Amazing jersey.
Greatest jersey all time, generally. Maybe.
Yeah.
He had 28 points last night, 5 of 6 from 3, I mean.
Well, and speaking
he's a guy. I mean, I didn't know how I felt about them drafting him, but he looks good down there.
And speaking of their rookies, Derek Queen had actually a pretty good game last night, but he was their what did they pick him at? Like somewhere around
13, I
well,
think.
That's, yeah, 13. They traded
They traded up.
Unprotected 2026 first round pick. It was like they moved up like two positions for him. Mm. He's nice, but just the whole time I was watching him play, in the back of my head, I was like, they gave up Darren Peterson for this guy.
Yeah. And well, on top of that, his minutes have gone down a lot as the season progressed. He had a lot of really good games and he was playing a lot about like a month or two into the season. Those minutes have gone down and the numbers have gone down. Last night he had 19-5, so pretty decent with 3 stocks. But it's really like in such a stacked rookie class as well. I mean, this class has like you could have the like all
Cam
rookie
Boozer,
team this year is
Darren
absolutely
Peterson.
Amazing.
Yeah. I mean,
it's just so hard to watch him, like you said, and be like, it was worth what they gave up for him.
Sorry, I might add at a later position in the draft, we also have Yaxel. This is a Michigan fan here. You know, he is kind of my guy. I know he's a little bit older, but just want to point out really
good
draft.
How old is he, like 22?
23.
That's not too bad.
You think?
He could be a guy. I mean,
I'm just saying he could be a guy. He's the guy from Michigan.
23, I think you're probably slipping pretty late into the first.
It's true, but I'm just saying when Michigan wins,
He could be a lottery pick.
I don't think he will be a lottery pick.
What are his stats?
His stats are good. 6th best player in the nation right now, and personally I think best player in the nation. And
Yaxel
I think
Lendenberg.
Yeah.
14.7 rebounds, 3.3 assists.
They're kind of mid numbers.
Okay. Yeah. So
he's actually regressed from last year.
Yeah.
He's playing less minutes also. I hate to break it to you.
He was at FAU last year. So it's completely different. Or he was not at FAU, but he transferred. This year he's carrying us to the first seed, and hopefully, I'm not gonna jinx us. Hopefully, the Natty. So
knock on wood.
Let's give it a knock. I just want to say another example of how stacked this draft is. You know, so put it out there.
Yeah. Derek Queen.
I'll be excited to see him play in March Madness.
I'm hyped. That's all I'm saying. But it wasn't worth. I don't think Derek Queen was worth them trading their first overall pick, even though. He seems like he could be a dog, you know.
He needs to turn into like Jokic. He needs to be an all-star for this to be worth it.
Yeah.
You couldn't put like a top 10 protection. Yeah. You couldn't give up like one of your other players. You couldn't give up Trey Murphy.
Yeah.
I don't know. And DeAndre
he's 21, so he's not that old, so we got to give him that. He has plenty of time to progress and develop.
DeAndre Jordan played more minutes than him.
Yeah, I mean, DeAndre Jordan's their starting center now, right?
Yeah. Or no. I don't think he's starting. He's off the bench.
Who's starting for them?
Who? Derek? Is Derek Queen
Derek
starting?
Queen's not starting. He's coming off the bench. It's DeAndre Jordan started last night. Oh, God. He did? 2-2-1 starting last night in 11 minutes, but he is starting, which in the big 2-6 is insane.
But I heard on the broadcast that he was mentoring Derek Queen, which he's not a bad mentor, I think. Similar, definitely not similar comp. But,
no, but...
I mean, DeAndre Jordan.
DeAndre Jordan's crazy high flyer.
Derek Queen does not look pretty athletic. He's a lot in his footwork is his game. Footwork, floaters. I don't think I've seen him dunk. I'm sure he can dunk, but he doesn't really play good defense. I think that's one of his downsides. Yeah. Bad defense, but no three yet. If he could develop a three ball, I think he could be a real guy in this league, but Clippers did belt them though last night.
Right, belt the Pelicans. Like, okay,
not too impressive. Jordan Miller, he's entered the rotation. He was like late second round pick like 3 years ago. They cut him like five times. He was on a two way for like 3 years. But when like every guy on their roster was injured, he got a lot of PT. 19 points, 2 rebounds, 8 assists, 3 steals, and get this, 83% from the field. He's a bit of a free throw merchant, though. He had like 11 free throws. Kawhi Leonard also played. God, Kawhi. I mean, he's been so incredible. I think if all those guys are out and miss the 65-game margin, Kawhi MVP. I got Kawhi in my MVP.
What's Kawhi's game played looking at though? Like, is Kawhi like gonna points? Make it?
Oh, what do you mean?
The game's 65. Played requirement.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, I think he. Might
because he it took him a while to get back.
Yeah, he
into
was
the
out
season.
For like 2 weeks,
so he might be
but
pushing.
He's
it
at 45
games.
I think he can make it because they're gonna have to play him like every night to make. I think they want to push to the seventh seed once Darius comes back. But yeah, he tweaked his ankle like 2 weeks ago. He was out on and off. He had like ankle stiffness, but I mean, just with Kawhi, it's like it's truly every game is a day to day for Kawhi. But
I mean, I'm sorry, but like. All love to Kawhi. When has he like hit 65 games in the past like 6 years? Genuinely.
He did 2 seasons ago. He was all NBA second team. The season with Paul before Paul George left. But yeah, you're right. Last year he played like 43. I hope he hits 65.
I think, to be totally honest, I thought they had a chance last season and it ended badly. I don't know.
They
I think
did,
their window
they did
might be
fizzle
closing.
Out in the playoff. Yeah. I mean, their window is absolutely. Do you see what he said like 2 weeks ago? I was going to talk about it on last week.
Kawhi went to in front of a reporter and said, I think it's over for our team.
It killed me. Like, and we were playing really well. Like, I think it might be misquoted. I think he meant that like it was over in terms of their like development.
Yeah,
but I don't.
It's just
it was
bad.
A,
it's bad
it's
looks
Kawhi
all around.
I mean,
terrible
fun,
looks.
Fun guy, Kawhi.
It is a very Kawhi thing to say. Like, He's a very blunt guy. Yeah. He'll speak his mind, but I mean, that's just like, it's got to be like a bad locker room thing, right?
No,
like,
I think they have a pretty strong locker room. I think from what I've seen, but I think he's not really a good leader. I definitely think that's
I mean,
shows.
It's Kawhi.
Like,
he's never been a leader. Yeah.
No. I don't think like James Harden, who was the Clippers leader before, would be saying that, but. It is what it is.
So what are your thoughts on the, I'm sure it's been talked about, the Darius Garland-Harden trade? Really.
Yeah. So Darius Garland, he's going to be back tonight against the Warriors. Back from that ankle injury, the turf toe. I think both of his toes were injured in both feet at some point. But the Clippers staff, they said that they weren't going to bring him back until he was like full 100%. But so he's back. I like the trade. Harden is like 36. He's still playing really well, obviously way out of his prime, but I think he's got a good 2-3 years left. The Clippers contention window, as you said, the door is slammed shut completely. Yeah. There's no way they're going to win a championship. I mean, you never know what happens, but I wouldn't bet my life savings on it.
I didn't love the trade just because it's Harden at the end of the day. Like, he was your guy for like 2 years, whatever it was, a year, 2 years. But, like, you know, you did get younger. Maybe the future is like
two-time All-Star Darius Garland. Harden, he is the better player. But if we
take a look at the other side of this trade, though, Harden's also out with an injury right now. Yeah. He's missing a pretty extended period of time. I think a few weeks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you gotta factor that in too. Like, if he can't be healthy for the end of the season, depending on how his recovery.
It, though, for sure. He's a guy, didn't he, like, strain his hamstring with the Nets? And he was playing in that Game 7. I think it did.
Was he in the Game 7?
Against the Nets. This was, like, 5 years ago. Okay, long time ago, yeah.
Because I do think Darius Garland also has injury problems, as I'm sure you know.
Definitely, yeah.
Especially in the playoffs. Like, the past couple years, I would argue you could blame Garland for some of the Cavs.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, some of the Cavs' struggles in the playoffs.
He was vital to their offense last year.
Exactly.
He was
no playoff
a shell
player,
of himself
really.
In the playoffs.
Exactly.
But I think if he is actually at 100%.
Yeah, so
he could. The Clippers do not have a point guard. Like, they, on their roster, Chris Paul traded, James Harden gone. Their point guard is Chris Dunn. Chris Dunn, he's not, his handle is very dubious. Truly the epitome of dubious handle.
Yeah, for sure.
And just, Marcus, you were right. Harden is going to play through the injury. He fractured his right thumb, but he did play last night, actually, 22 points in 36 minutes. So kind of a pretty mid game. But if he can come back, like, fully, like, healthy from this injury and play through it, James Harden.
Oh, yeah.
I think the Cavs are in a really good spot right now.
Yeah, should we move to talking about the Cavs?
Yeah, it was Harden.
Yeah, I mean, with Harden's playmaking, those guys out in Cleveland have really been benefiting.
I mean,
specifically Evan Mobley and Jared Allen. Jared Allen, Black History Month run has been generational. Did you see them talking about that? He was averaging like 20 points in the month of February. I mean, he was playing out of his mind.
Good for bro, you know.
Yeah, you know.
What are you gonna say?
But I mean, we've talked about it before. Big men do tend to benefit from James Harden's playmaking. We were saying maybe like Zubac benefited a lot on the Clippers from James Harden's playmaking.
I think Zubac, he really does self-create in the post a lot. So, like, with a guy like Jared Allen, who high flyer, James Harden can shoot up lobs. Zubac doesn't really get up high, but yeah, you're right. I mean, big men, Clint Capella, really bad. He's made a lot of big man, big money.
Yeah. It's just occurring to me as well. Was Jared Allen on the Nets with Harden? Were they at the same time?
I think they were, but they traded him for quickly, someone. Right. Who did they? I think they traded him for DeAndre Jordan. Maybe.
Are you sure to the Nets?
Jared Allen trade.
I can't remember
if they
ever played together. Really,
Yeah, it was actually. You know what? James Harden was acquired.
Was it?
From
four,
with yeah, four
okay,
Jared
four
Allen.
Allen yeah. Yeah.
So they never played together.
Yeah.
But yeah,
well, I guess
in that way,
he did kind of make Jared Allen money.
Yeah.
In a way, in a little bit of a roundabout way, but yeah.
Yeah, they've been looking good together. I really do like Cleveland's roster. I like their title odds. We've been talking about them a lot now, but I think they were one of the hottest teams in the last 20 games. I think they went like 22-10. The Harden Mitchell backcourt has been looking really good. It's really been working.
I just think the issues are that, first off, last year first seed, and now I don't know what seed they are right now, but
I think they're like the fourth seed.
Like, they've been significantly less good when we all thought they were number one contenders in the East. So not the best looks. Add the fact that it feels like every year it's just Mitchell in the playoffs, like, putting his body on the line and everything. So I don't love them in the playoffs, but obviously, you know, I hope for the Cavs, you know. All hope, all love.
Yeah, I think a lot of their early season struggles was stemming from the Darius Garland.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Turf toe.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if they can put together a healthy stretch, I don't know if they push for the 2 or 3 seed, because I like my odds against the Pistons in the second round rather than the Knicks or the Celtics, just because the Pistons, I mean, they were in the playoffs last year, but definitely much less
younger,
proven,
a lot less
younger.
Playoff experience.
Asar Thompson, does
good,
no
yeah.
three ball. Like, he's one of their key pieces. I don't think a guy who lacks a three ball can really get big minutes in the playoffs, because if you can just like lag off him completely on defense, not guard him, that would be bad. So I like them in the fourth seed, but yeah, they're looking good out in Cleveland.
Not to talk too much about the Pistons, but as a Michigan guy, just love to see it. If they make the finals and win, we're gonna go crazy. You know, I'm excited.
Parade's gonna be going crazy out in Detroit.
Exactly. I mean,
my city, yeah.
It's Detroit, but yeah, totally. You know, I'm excited. You know.
You went to a Pistons game earlier this year, actually. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, Pistons Celtics. It was a great game. It was close to the end. The Pistons took it, which I love to see. But this was sort of at the very beginning of Jaylen Brown's sort of breakout year to the Celtics star. And I don't know if he had 40 points or something, but he had a lot of points. And it was the first time I really, like, I started, because I would always, as most people, thought of Jaylen Brown as Jason Tatum's, like, semi-sidekick. It was the first time I saw him break out, and I was like, wow, I think this might be a different team. And I think it's turned out that way. But I still think the Pistons are better, and Cade is just amazing at this point. I think he should be one of the MVP frontrunners. No glaze.
I agree. I think if all these guys miss MVP, Shea and Jokic, I think Cade would be MVP, because now, even though the Thunder do have two more wins than them, they have one less loss.
Yeah.
So they're like number two, number one. I think they could have the overall best record in the whole league. So I think if that happens, Cade definitely MVP for me.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's amazing what they, like, to even go from the sixth seed to the one seed. Obviously, they haven't clinched yet, but right around there. It's just amazing, you know, especially for a franchise that's been sort of in the dumps for almost like a decade, you know. It's great to see finally making it up to the top again. So I'm really happy. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I mean, this is a team that 2 years ago we saw break the process Sixers record for most losses in a row. And turning around to now having an MVP candidate, a very highly seeded, like, play. I mean, they're the one seed in the East, right? And, like, best record in the league, like you guys said, is just a stellar turnaround. And, like, credit to the front office.
Coaching.
Coaching. Yeah. Well, didn't they have a coaching change a year or two?
Yeah, they did. Because they fired Monty Williams. Who's their current coach?
Oh, we should know this because we've talked about him before. He's really
good.
I do want to bring
I
up.
I got him for coach of the year, though, for sure.
Yeah.
I think he should be.
Totally.
It's JB Bickerstaff.
Yeah, and he was actually Cleveland's coach before. Yeah. So it's funny how that turned the tables.
Because. Mm-hmm. Though we are not, what was it? We are not 2-23 bad. Like, that was a crazy era. And to come back from that in a matter of like a couple years, like, wow, you know,
at least, I mean, he's getting paid to sit on the couch at home. So, not that rough for him.
Not the worst life.
Yeah. I think he had like the biggest contract for a head coach ever, actually.
Something like that.
Yeah.
He's making a lot of money.
Man, I wish I. That would be nice, man.
On God, you know?
Who wouldn't? Anyway.
6 years, $78.5 million. $78.5 million to sit on the couch.
Put me in, coach.
Over the next 5 years, $65 million. Wow. I mean, I'm sure it'd be funny to see how much all of these teams are paying the coaches they fire. Because that is, like, a real thing. Like, it's not the same as NBA players, where when you buy out, you want to sign.
Yeah.
Because you got Thibodeau with the Knicks, Mike Malone,
with the Nuggets. No, I mean, it's crazy. These guys get paid so much. Like,
on God, man. So we got.
Anyway, yeah. Should we talk about the Warriors?
Yeah,
Hawks
the Warriors.
Trade? I want to talk about that. So, for those who don't know, at the trade deadline, the Warriors sent. In essence, there's some filler and stuff in there, but in essence, Jonathan Kuminga to the Hawks for Kristaps Porzingis.
Tingus Pingus.
New
York Knicks legend, Tingus Pingus.
Theoretically has some sort of illness.
Wizards legend,
yep. We thought it was Potts. Everybody thought it was Potts. And then just the other day, Steve Kerr came out and said, oh yeah, I called the Atlanta GM after the trade, which is crazy, to ask if that was real, and he said no. So he has some sort of mystery illness.
Wow.
And then why?
Which is really scary.
Why are the Warriors?
He's been missing so much time.
No, like a lot
of
time.
Like he didn't play in the playoffs last year. I mean, what is this?
And why are the Warriors front office not asking about that before the trade? Because he's not really played for them at all. Like, or, like, a little bit, right?
Yeah.
But not, like, anything serious. That's, I feel like, kind of the thing you maybe want to know before you trade. And Kuminga's been very good for the Hawks.
Like, I mean, to be fair, they didn't.
Not very good, is an understatement. He's like, been amazing. Elite.
Yeah.
They needed to trade him, though, because it was just, it just become an issue at that point.
Fire Steve Kerr over trading Kuminga.
Like
he dropped 20 last night, 17 the 26th versus the Wizards, and 27 the 24th, and he's shooting well from three.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a clear, like, winner-loser trade. Like,
yeah.
I think they've been talking about trading him for, like, years. There were fights, like, obviously, this isn't the trade he needed to go. He was stealing sandwiches from
yeah,
practice. He was taking sandwiches to his family from the Warriors, like,
irreconcilable
locker room,
differences.
Like,
I think they were scrambling, you know, for something.
I agree, he needed to go, yeah. But you don't. First off, you do your due diligence before the trade. You don't ask after. What is this mystery illness this guy has? And there were other guys on the market you could have gotten, I feel like.
It just shows that the Warriors truly failed to rebuild a title-contending roster around Steph Curry after the departure of Kevin Durant.
Yeah. I think
they had, like, three lottery picks.
Really? Like, after
one top two.
Yeah.
They took the second pick on James Wiseman, right?
The Wiseman was really screwed them up for years to come.
And then they took
honestly.
Kuminga at seven, which might have been a good pick, but I think a lot of it was Steve Kerr. I saw he was trying to develop Kuminga into a, like, Aaron Gordon archetype, but Kuminga himself thought of himself as, like, an all-star, all-NBA guy, which, I mean, that's kind of a crazy thing to...
You
got to
believe
ego,
in yourself,
yeah.
man, you know?
I mean, you got to believe in yourself.
You can be anything you want to be.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Steve Kerr failed as a coach. I think Steve Kerr, probably on the outs after Curry.
Yeah. I mean,
after,
like,
Curry, maybe.
This team has had so many kind of, like, locker room incidents. You look at the infamous Draymond Green punching Jordan Poole at a practice. That's another Michigan guy, Jordan Poole.
He's kind of my goat for that buzzer beater, we know.
But yeah, 16, like, I believe. Is it maybe time to talk about Steve Kerr as, you know, a guy who can't really build a great culture? Like,
That's Draymond Green.
It's, yeah.
With the Jordan. A lot. Also, Draymond Green, he caused them that 4-1 or 3-1 lead because he got ejected.
Yeah, but
that's like 2016.
Yeah, I mean, that's,
yeah, that's a long time ago.
But I think Steve Kerr is definitely on the outs,
it's,
for sure.
Yeah. I don't think he gets fired now.
I think he goes with
Steph
Curry.
Steph Curry and him, yeah.
With Curry,
so
it's like a new era.
Yeah,
for sure.
But, yes. But Pods has been playing really well.
Yeah, Pods Untouchable has had a little bit of, like, a revival. Because, I mean, dude, at the beginning of the season, Pods was in, like garbage talks. Like, get him off my team. What is this guy doing? Like,
another guy that thinks of himself highly, he said he wants to be better than Curry. So, let's see how that goes.
He's got some work to do, you know, but he could...
12.2 points.
For our viewers,
35% from three.
For our listeners that know, that's low-key I Show Speed Face vibes right there. Sorry.
Yeah, but Pods has had a pretty good stretch here, and I hope he can keep it up. You know, it's good to see.
He did drop 9 points last night, or the 28th, but
before that, he had a good, like, 5-6 game stretch.
16 against the Pelicans, 18 against the Nuggets. So. And Steph Curry has been out. Their whole roster has been, like, depleted for a while. Steph Curry, do you know what injury he has? Steph Curry's out with
a knee
injury. Yeah, but he's playing out of his mind this year.
Yeah, he really is.
Before, he averaging 27.2 points. Steph Curry, another guy who really shows the longevity on him is just insane. Yeah. He's 37. He was an all-star this year. He did not play. Truly one of the greats. Top five PG all time.
I just want to put this out there. We had a conversation last semester where you said that you don't think Steph Curry is top 10 all time.
No.
Do you still think that?
No.
Alex, what do you think?
I don't think he's top 10
Kevin Durant merchant. He's a Kevin Durant super team merchant.
He won two championships without Kevin Durant.
Yeah, but 2015 doesn't count. Like, let's
2015
totally
doesn't
real.
Count. That's the greatest team of all time.
No, 2022
or 2016. Sorry, 2016. But that was Kevin Durant. Yeah. But like, am I crazy here? Like, first unanimous MVP. Changed the way the game was played. Like, he low-key, like Steph Curry, the 3-point shooting, I think changed how people.
But I would say James Harden, in terms of threes, was more revolutionary with the step back, because now every guy in their like package, they got the step back. Steph Curry, he is a very unique guy because he plays so much off the ball. Mm. I wouldn't say he was that revolutionary.
Like, undersized guard.
I mean, yeah,
where'd he go to college? Davidson, right?
Yeah, Davidson.
He had not actually, like, even the craziest first couple seasons in the league. And becomes, I think, like, it's crazy that you guys don't think he'd be, like, 9 or 10.
I think he's outside.
I think
he's the greatest shooter of all time.
I get the argument, but for me, he's not my top 10.
I think he's, like, around 12, you know? I think he's just outside.
Yeah, just outside.
I don't think he's hit, because, first of all, you know, Andre Iguodala, Finals MVP. Hate to bring it up.
This is true. That was low-key.
Low-key insane, but yeah.
But hate to bring it up, but it's something that has to... Yeah, I mean, it's not crazy to say.
If the aliens have the beam pointed at Earth, give me Iguodala.
It's not crazy to say. And then you add that, and then he was off Kevin Durant for the big two, you know? Made two championships. And he got the 2022 one, which was absolutely amazing, but it just not the same, like, not the same dominance as Shaq, I don't think. You know, just not quite at that level yet, in my opinion.
Well, I'd put Shaq at, like, 5, personally.
Okay.
Or, like, 4.
Yeah, for sure.
What about like, Russell, you know, some of the classic guys?
Like, Russell? Oh, Bill Russell.
I was thinking, like, Russell Westbrook. What is this guy talking about?
Bill Russell, yeah. We have the Wilt, you know. I think the classics still, in my opinion, go above him. So I just think it pushes him out of the classic top 10. But don't get me wrong, he's really close. And you can make the argument, you know.
But hopefully he'll be back so the Warriors can... keep pushing.
Yeah, what seed are they at right now?
To get out of the play-in. Or they're not getting to stay in the play-in. Maybe get 7-8 rather than 9-10. I think they'll probably end up with 9. I think the Clippers will pass them for sure. If the Clippers can remain healthy. Right now, they're sitting at the 8th seed. Jimmy Butler's out again. Porzingis out. Hopefully, they can get healthy and see what they can do. I saw, like, ESPN had them in at the 2nd seed. Mm. Which is pretty crazy, actually.
Crazy.
Yeah, crazy glaze, but
yeah. I really wish. I mean, if Jimmy Butler were in for the season, then I think it's a different game. Honestly,
losing Jimmy really didn't hurt them.
That's what I'm saying.
I feel really bad. I don't like the Warriors, but that just sucks.
I don't think they were contenders anyway. That. But like losing Jimmy is bad.
It really
did
them in.
Yeah. I think it took them into the play-in. Honestly, well, I mean, we'll see. You know, but.
All right.
Also yesterday,
you can go ahead.
My Knicks played against the Spurs. It was a really exciting game, actually. The Knicks, as we've talked about before, they traded for Grand Theft Alvarado, Jose Alvarado, in the trade deadline. He's been really good for them as a guard off the bench. Mm-hmm. He kicked out... their rookie from last year, Tyler Kolek, who made the rotation.
Yeah, he got sent down to the G League now, right?
He was on the bench yesterday, but I feel bad for Tyler. Like, he kind of had, like, a breakout moment in the NBA Cup in-season tournament, but...
Yeah, you know, I mean, Alvarado got traded, and it's barbecue chicken from there, you know?
But I love those Grand Theft Alvarado steals a lot. They had a really good game last night. Also, Jeremy Sochan, who they picked up in the buyout market, but he did not play. I think he might just not even crack the rotation.
I mean, he wasn't getting PT on the Spurs.
Yeah, that's why they cut him. Rookie this year, Mohamed Diawara, he's been really good, actually. He had 14 points last night. I think he took Sohan's spot from the rotation. I wonder, is Sochan even still going to be in the league? After this contract,
I mean, there's always going to be teams that, I mean, Killian Hayes is a spot on the Kings right now. There's always going to be guys that, you know, just need, they need bodies, you know, they need people to get on the court, but he's not going to play for a contender anytime soon, I don't think. And correct me if I'm wrong. I think this is the Spurs' first loss since January. I think they were undefeated like the month of February.
Wow. Streak. They've been really good. Like, very impressed. We had them at like six or seven seed. But they're like firmly in the second seed, and they might even overtake OKC. Mm-hmm. At the first.
Last time I checked, they were only two and a half losses back. Yeah. So I mean, absolutely. I mean, led by Wemby.
Wemby has been amazing.
Steph Castle has also been just crazy.
Devin Vassell is really good. Dylan Harper's been better.
Yeah.
Last night, De'Aaron Fox had kind of a stinker. Yeah. 7 points, 6 assists.
But, I mean, like, they have a guy like Dylan Harper, like, kind of a little, like, buried on the bench because he got injured and had to come back and has been working back from that. Like, this is a deep team and a good and they have a lot of draft capital. They have the Hawks pick this year, unprotected, no?
Yeah.
And that could end up being a good pick. I mean, the Hawks are...
If the Hawks don't make the playoffs and they're in the
Kuminga Loki is throwing a wrench in things, but as of today, I think, the Hawks are dead 500. They're 31-31, and their total point differential on the season is +1. Like, they're the most mid team in existence.
So if they, then could San Antonio, like we saw last year, the Mavericks, they just missed the play-in. They lost in the play-in tournament.
First overall
And they
pick,
got the first pick. So could, I, if the Hawks give the Spurs the first overall pick, the league will be in shambles.
Truly, the league will be in shambles.
So that Adam Silver, Adam Silver, please, like, David Stern, fold the card. Like, just don't let this happen.
Like, freeze the card. Yeah, freeze the card. Like,
we're referring to conspiracy theories about the Patrick Ewing to the Knicks draft. But yes, so I think the Spurs probably second round exit team. At best, maybe they could make a conference finals. Yeah. But
at best, you don't think they make a. I think they can make a conference finals run. They're very young is the thing. They don't have a lot of playoff experience.
If you end up playing the right now at the 3 spot and the 6 spot, Houston Rockets and the Lakers, if you're playing the Lakers.
Dude, if I'm the Spurs Luka and I get the Rockets or the Lakers.
Luka is torching you.
Dude, Steph Castle's been on lock with defense, bro.
He locked down Jalen Brunson the other day, too. He locked down Jalen Brunson last night in the first half,
Stephon Castle has been very underrated as a defender this season. He's been locking up these MVP kids we talk about. Cade Cunningham, Jalen Brown. They're a very young, inexperienced playoff team, but if I run into a team like the Lakers in the playoffs, I'm taking that all day in, like, 5 or 6, maybe. At worst, at 6.
Yeah. Another team worth talking about maybe for a second is the T-Wolves, you know. Obviously, not exactly in the top of the conference, but they had a big win against the Nuggets. And, you know, they're kind of rolling right now. Ant's been playing good. Looks like Jaden McDaniels had a 20-point game last night, which is great for him. And then my guy, Rudy Gobert, obviously maybe not his best game, but he's sort of been my guy for a minute. I know he's one of the most hated-on players. And I think this is totally unfair because genuinely, this guy terrorizes on defense, you know?
Rudy Gobert super stan.
Yeah, I mean, genuinely, right. I think there's some, exactly.
A bit of a super stan.
Bit of a super stan, you know? There's some low-key GOAT arguments here, like 4-time DPOY, you know? Not to be crazy, but best defender of all time? Like, are we putting it out there, you know? Are we putting it out there?
I mean, listen, he did... He anchored that defense with Cat a couple years ago. He's a dominant defense. He's a part of why they're so good.
Yeah, I mean, he terrorizes.
But you see how they don't go to him when he's at the rim. I've seen him wide open at the rim. Completely open. And he does. They don't pass it to him because he can't put the ball in the hoop.
Listen, I
am a total advocate for defense being 50% of the sport. But if you are 7-1 and you can't put the ball in the basket... When you're wide open, come on.
So I want to bring up some wise words from Nico Harrison. defense wins championships, as we all know.
Hey, where's Nico right now?
Yeah. Okay.
Nico's on the couch getting that bag.
I think they were wise words, and we have to remember, defense is what wins championships. So, Rudy Gobert, the best, arguably best defender in the league. I know there's Wemby, but I would argue he's better.
Well, you know, I mean, if Wemby doesn't make that games requirement.
Yeah. We're looking at another 5-time DPOY.
I think Rudy.
Insane.
Yeah.
Genuinely. Just another
Ant-Man, also clutch player of the year. I've been seeing that push.
He's been good.
Yeah,
Ant-Man's
been good.
He's been really good. He's having his best year, I think.
Yeah. No, I mean, that team's looking good.
Ant-Man MVP, if the T-Wolves, I think they could jump to the third seed now with the Rockets being so depleted of talent on their roster. Yeah.
I don't know that MVP, but definitely like some
first
votes.
Team.
Yeah.
NBA.
Yeah. I think he might swing a few votes for MVP, like Alex said, but I don't think he's winning. Mm. I think his PR is a little bit like in the gutter with all the like off the court stuff he's just been involved in over the years.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of stuff is just like some people aren't going to want to vote for him.
Yeah. Sure.
They still are lacking a real point guard on the T-Wolves. They've been running Ant or DiVincenzo have been starting in their backcourt. Uh-huh. Neither are a real point guard. But Bones Highland, who was kind of in and out of the league for a while, is their backup point guard, and he's been pretty good for them.
Conley signed back already?
He is back, but he's not playing anymore because of Bones Highland. But before we keep talking about basketball, we've got a quick PSA about dried fruit. Looking for some sweet, great-tasting snacks that are also healthy for you? Try eating dried fruit. Gavin, dried figs, apples, cherries, bananas, apricots, peaches, pears, pineapples, I got more, raisins, cranberries, prunes, blueberries, mangoes, and oh, so many other fruits are both tasty and good for you. Many dried fruits are an excellent natural source of cancer-fighting dietary fiber. Read the labels to understand which brands have added sugars, preservatives, and other ingredients, but no matter what, eating pretty much any kind of fruit is going to be better for you than candy or processed snacks. A public service message from all the Tufts, all the fruits and nuts here at WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Thank you so much for that, Marcus.
I could definitely think of a lot of NBA players.
Have Luka and Zion been eating those dry fruits?
I don't think Luka has. He's been looking pretty hefty.
Yeah.
Skinny Luka did not make a debut this year.
Yeah.
As we've said, he did, in fact, discover California Mexican food and In-N-Out. In-N-Out better than Whataburger. We'll see next year, probably, if Luka puts the James Harden fat suit on.
I wish he would eat his dates. That's all I'm saying. You know, you got to eat the dates pregame, you know?
Dried figs, apples, cherries, or bananas probably would be better than whatever he's eating now.
Can't be healthy.
So speaking of Luka, we need to talk about the Lakers. I'm sorry, Gavin.
No, it's all right, Marcus. We need to talk about the Lakers. They have been so underwhelming. And they've just sold. They lost to a Royce O'Neal game winner from the Suns. Like, Royce O'Neal, like, what are we doing here, you know?
Pitiful,
like,
pitiful things. And it was because of a defensive miscommunication from Austin Reeves. Yeah.
Luka, I mean, his numbers are good, but, like, I mean...
But empty stats.
Yeah, it's kind of stat padding.
Totally. And in that game, no Devin Booker, no Dylan Brooks.
Yeah, I mean, Dylan Brooks is
out for a while.
He broke his
hand
right?
Fracture, yeah.
So... It's just crazy. Like, it befuddles. I mean, 32.5, 7.7 rebounds, and 8.6 assists. Like, the numbers are there, but he doesn't play defense.
No defense.
Like, at all.
Nico was right. No, controversial take. Nico may have been right.
I agree with you, actually, Alex. Nico, it was the worst trade ever. Truly, the return, pitiful. But the idea
was there.
Was he right? Because, you're right. Completely empty stats.
Yeah, and this team, I mean, LeBron has 21.6, 5.6 rebounds and 7 assists. But again, it's kind of empty. Like,
I don't think
there's much of a, how do I put this? I don't think this team is that cohesive.
No.
Like, it's kind of a bunch of guys in a room, if that makes any sense. Like, LeBron is out with the Lakers after this season, most likely.
Yeah, no, I think it's like pretty much confirmed.
Confirmed. He's a free agent. He's probably not coming back to the Lakers, I mean, like 99%.
The Jeannie Buss stuff, yeah. I don't think you'd want to stay. Jeannie Buss came out and was like talking trash about LeBron after she sold the team. I mean, that's got to be terrible for your chemistry. Yeah.
And you have Luka, who just got there, pretty much, in a pretty... Anthony Davis was really well-liked in that locker room, I think. And so you trade a very well-liked guy for, you know, Luka. And so he comes in. He's like almost like a home wrecker a little bit. And then your third guy is Austin Reeves, who, you know, is due for a big extension soon. And you kind of have nobody else on that team. Like, no. Bronny DeAndre James. Aiden? DeAndre Ayton. Oh, yeah. So
Prime Clint Capella.
Prime Clint Capella.
Yeah, so it came out this past week that the Lakers training staff are taking DeAndre Ayton's water bottle and they're writing, like, DA's crunk juice on the water bottle. I mean, this is like a grown man who's playing in the NBA. Like, what are we doing? Like, this can't be real. Like,
yeah.
And then he comes out and he's like, you know, they're trying to make me Clint Capella. Like, prime Clint Capella is a good center. He's better than you are right now. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I mean... Like, DeAndre Ayton is truly, he is a befuddling player. Because he had the, like, tools, he's got the physical, like, capabilities of being an all-time great. But it's all the mental game for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you've seen it out in Phoenix, they were in the finals.
Remember in Portland when he missed a game because the roads were too icy for him to get to the stadium? Like, come on.
Did you see that he was like, yeah, sorry, I've been off because I didn't get a real mattress. I've been sleeping on an air mattress this whole time. He was on like $20 million. You could pay someone to buy you a mattress.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
what are we doing?
I just think it's just the clashing of eras for the Lakers. It's not all their fault. I mean, obviously, there's tons of mismanagement, too, but, yeah, I mean, they had no expectation, and so their team's not built around Luka. I do think he's been a letdown, too, but...
Yeah, no, they're very in-between eras, because they were in that LeBron-AD era you know, since that 2020 Mickey Mouse bubble championship.
Okay.
And, I mean, bro, they played it at Disney. Like,
what, they played the Heat?
Look, I'm the biggest LeBron fan out there, but, like,
that,
if we're being
truly
for real,
is a fake
like...
Ring. It's Mickey Mouse, right?
But, so they move on from AD. They're kind of in the Luka era now, but this team isn't built around him. They kind of just need to rebuild for a few years. Like,
So they
don't have
the guys. What their plan is and what the reports are, they're waiting for the 2027 offseason when, like, Jokic is a free agent, Giannis is a free agent. So basically they're putting a quote-unquote contending roster around him until then. But you're really, like, putting all your eggs that you'll get
in,
like,
one
Giannis,
basket. Like,
in Giannis. Or Jokic, but I don't think Jokic.
Yeah, I don't think he wants to go there. Yeah.
And or that. Does he? Because, yeah, Luka, empty stats, and he's so ball dominant.
Yeah.
That... And his production isn't that good. Like, he's not shooting well.
Also,
from three.
Just
he's not a shooter.
If you have a team centered around Luka and Jokic, the other three players that are starting for you better be all-time defensive greats because there is no defense being played by those two, like, at all. Well, I mean, Jokic is playing a little aggressive defense recently with Lou Dort, right?
Yes.
Do you want to talk about that?
Lou Dort.
So,
fight.
Lou Dort, infamously aggressive defender. Lots of hand checking. And fighting. And the other day he kind of, like, caught Jokic off guard and, like, knocked him over, and Jokic got up and just they started, you know, punching and fighting, and it Jokic looked pretty upset at him. Like, it was pretty bad at him.
And Jalen Williams also got in the fray.
Yeah.
He posted a photo to Instagram.
Of course he did, bro. Of course he did.
A little corny. You see Jokic's teeth.
I think that
was
his mouth guard.
Okay,
because
I was going to say.
I had that same reaction.
That's got, because it looked really vile. That's good, yeah. He looked really angry. I mean, I would be horrified. Jokic, he's like.
Dude, he's big.
Man.
He's like hefty.
Wow.
No, and you know what's crazy? Have you seen his brother who's always like in the stands?
Yeah,
dude's
yeah.
taller and bigger than him. Like, get that guy in the league. He could be the Lakers center right now. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, he could be better than Ayton, that's for sure. Clint Capella also came out and was like, dude, like you've got two of the greatest playmakers of all time. What are we doing?
You've got right Luka and LeBron on your team right now. Like, you can't be doing this. Like,
yeah,
come on.
It's kind of ridiculous.
One thing I want to bring up is, this happened earlier this week, I think, with Indiana Pacers head coach Rick Carlisle. So we talked a lot about tanking last episode, right, Marcus? Mm. And, we talked about how the Pacers got fined $100,000 for, like, a player management issue where basically it's the NBA determined that they benched a player for a game where he could have played, right? Well, Rick Carlisle came out and said that there was Aaron Nesmith that they got fined for, and they benched him because their team doctors said he literally could not even hold a basketball with his injury, right? Pretty valid to bench a player. And if the NBA wants to fine them, they should do some investigative work, because Rick Carlisle came out and said, we asked, do you guys want to send your doctors down here? Do you guys want to evaluate him yourselves? You know, you'll come to the same conclusion that he cannot play. And the NBA said, no, you either medicate him and put him on a court. They said that. They said you either, like, give him medicine and make him play through this injury, or you get fined. And, like, that's just, like, foul from the league, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean,
like, that really is gross. Complete mismanagement. And with that, sorry, I just had to
we
get
have
that
one
in.
Quick teaser. Yeah. So, Gavin and I were talking. We've been dropping a lot of NBA slander nicknames, like Tourney Man,
Camp Man,
Pimino J,
Anthony Data Davis.
So, we're gonna, for March Madness, we're gonna do an NBA draft. Next week, we're teasing that. But that's all we have for you today, folks.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Alex, thank you so much for coming out.
Yeah,
and this has been Courtside on 91.5 WMFO in Medford. Thank you guys so much. Sorry, but technical. Okay, there we go.
His name is LeBron James, and he plays for LA. It would feel so good and make a big difference if I could see him play. As I go to my living room, I made a bet or two that he's gonna shoot 10 threes, get 10 rees, and then the Lakers ain't gonna lose. And they got Luka Doncic, A. Reeves, and then LeBron, the real big three. They gave up AD because they needed change, and you got to say his name. His name is LeBron James. Make the world a better place. Take a look in the sky and say his name. Yeah. Ooh. Ooh. LeBron, 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 LeBron. LeBron is who we love. The best there ever was. It's time that y'all realize.
You're listening to 91.5 WMFO Medford. Thanks so much, the Courtside AM guys. Take it easy. This next show is called Strictly Haystack. It's going to be a lot of rhythm and blues, rock and roll, country hillbilly stuff. Going to play a bunch of songs on 78. Thank you so much for tuning in.